Next up on the Motor Trade Radio podcast, we're delighted to be joined by Matt Muhlenberg, the Chief Product Officer of Impel. The US-based business has been using AI to transform car buyer customer journeys for the last 10 years, working with some of America's biggest dealer groups, and it has grown to a $1 billion turnover business. And it was launched in the UK over 3 years ago. Now, Matt is in the UK this week visiting AM Live, so we're going to get his take on what he thought of some of the AI tech on show at the NEC and hear a little bit about Impel's plans for the UK ahead of a forthcoming full-length Motor Trade Radio Supplier Special. So welcome to the UK and Motor Trade Radio, Matt.
Curtis, it's so great to be here. Thank you for taking the time with me.
All right, it's great. And I think we had the pleasure of meeting each other at AM Live this week as well, Matt. So it's a pleasure to get you on, and especially in terms of, you know, why you're over here in, as you say, in the UK this week to do some visiting with your customers and potential customers, and obviously be at AM Live. So as we say, thanks for taking the time out. But let's start off with Matt. Tell us a little bit about Impel and some of the AI-based services you are providing to the dealer sector at the minute.
Yeah, Impel is a really amazing company. It was founded about 10 years ago using AI capabilities in computer vision to create super high quality imagery that dealers could use on their website and third-party marketplaces to merchandise their cars. That early lead in AI gave us an opportunity to be at the table as generative AI came into its own and started to hit the market. We brought our first generative AI product to the industry roughly 4 years ago, at that time primarily focused around sales, the sales department in the store, and how do you help optimize the business, take out some of the overhead that it takes to manage the leads that come into that department, and drive the dealership forward.
And thinking about, obviously, you know, in terms of maybe, you know, in terms of where you operate globally, but here in the UK, I mean, you've been in the UK, as Curtis said there, for over 3 years, and you're working with some very significant number of dealers already here in the UK, I believe.
Yeah, we have a sizable footprint in this market. Very proud of what the team here is able to do and the types of relationships that we've developed with our customers. It's such a great relationship and fun to be here because I've had a chance to sit with several of them and listen to what their needs and challenges are, and be able to map that to what we're working on. It's really exciting to see the alignment of the industry with the things that are coming over the next several months.
And in terms of, you know, the UK dealers, I mean, are they pretty receptive to what you're offering? And you know, how important is the UK to you as a business?
Oh yeah, the UK is definitely one of our top three markets globally. We love the business that we do here. The markets in the US, the United Kingdom, Australia have a lot of commonalities, but they also have a lot of differences. And it's been a fun journey for us to take the core solutions that we offer for sales, service, chat, and other capabilities and really sit with our partners here in the UK, understand their businesses, the variations in how they work, and to deploy that technology to make their stores more effective. I'll tell you, it's working because I look at some of the large dealer groups that we engage with where, when I started here 18 months ago, we had one or two or three stores in their collection, and now we're up to 50, 60, or 70 stores in some instances and on a path to be working with the entire dealer group. We've got tremendous traction. The products are working really well at scale, and consumers seem to be very accepting of the engagement with an AI. As long as they're getting their questions answered and making forward motion, you see tremendous engagement and tremendous opportunities being created for the salespeople in the store.
So Matt, I mean, back to the question in terms of, you know, naming some of those dealer groups. I mean, you operate with over 300 customers here in the UK. Just for those that are not working with you, and they might want to look at how it works with those in the market that are using your AI functionality, can you name some of those operations that you are actually dealing with here in the UK?
Yeah, of course. You know, in fact, I was out for dinner last night with folks from Sytner, from John Clark, from Sinclair. We work with a whole number of the largest dealer groups, as well as individual points and single stores here in the country. the business has been growing and we continue to have great reception from the marketplace.
And Matt, as we've said, you've been in the UK this week for AM Live. What was your take? Yeah, what did you make of some of the certainly AI tech on show compared to what you have in the US?
I always love coming to trade shows like this. You know, AI is the buzzword everywhere right now, and it feels like every legacy company you've heard of has now slapped AI into their name. I walked the floor, I looked at every booth in there, and probably two-thirds of them referenced AI in some way as it relates to their business. You know, it's hard in a short moment in time to get a sense of whether or not what they're doing is real or if it's just putting those letters out there because it helps build their brand. But I think it's an exciting moment for the industry because the attention is on AI and the impact that it can have at retail. And I think it's generally good to have participants that are looking to get into that space and to generate that conversation with the retailers that exist. You know, I look at a lot of these companies, and what you often will find is while they say they're an AI company, what they've really done is just put a skin on OpenAI or one of the other solutions that's out there. And so it becomes a challenge for the dealer to really understand who's a professional organization that understands this industry and how to deploy this technology in our industry versus a newcomer or even a legacy player that's just claiming to be in that space. It's important to do diligence and understand what the capabilities really are.
And in terms of comparing markets, where would you say the UK is in relation to the US in what we're doing with AI in automotive retailing compared with what you're doing in the States?
Oh, that's such a great question. You know, when I worked in the website business back in the day, it was easy to say that the other markets were many years behind. The reality with AI is things are changing so quickly and the competencies and capabilities come so fast that is the UK behind? Maybe if they are, it's by a month or two or three. The differences between the markets, they're almost non-existent. The dealers have embraced it here. They understand the impact that it has on their ability to nurture customers and generate sales. And the industry is full on. I don't see a lot of differences between the two markets. There may be more solutions that are richer and deeper that exist in the US because the market there happens to be larger, but it's, again, months or weeks until those same capabilities make it over to the UK as well.
I mean, that's fascinating that the difference in time is so tight, because I remember back in the day, as you referenced, you know, with websites and that online tech, the US did have a distinct lead, and it was certainly more than weeks and months. You know, in some cases it was years. I'm just wondering, you know, just one last thing on AI. Are there any differences in the way that dealers approach AI here compared with the US in terms of how receptive they are to AI?
Yeah, I'll be entirely transparent with you here. I really enjoy our UK customers because they're much more invested in the details of what the technology does and how it fits with their people and processes inside their stores. Now, that's not non-existent in the US. There are some amazing operators that pay that same level of attention. But what you tend to see is a rush to adoption in America. People want to do something, they're not sure what to do, and they sign up for the shiny object that comes in. My customers here, they lean in hard. They push us to be excellent at what we do. And I really appreciate that because it means we have true partnership with our customers. And they've invested not only in the technology that we're providing, but in their own staff and their own teams to take advantage of that technology. And we work so hard to bridge that gap between what we're delivering and how it needs to be implemented in the store. It's refreshing to have such great partners in the delivery and execution.
And finally, on that, Matt, I mean, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people, and you probably get this in terms of a lot of your conversations, whether that's over in the US or in other markets, and particularly here in the UK, you know, worrying about AI replacing the human element in this market. I mean, what's the reality from your perspective in what you're seeing in the dealer sector, and how does the balance between people and technology actually work in practice?
Yeah, everybody has fears of AI replacing jobs, and there certainly are jobs in industries that are getting replaced by AI. In automotive, what we really see happening is work that people typically don't want to do in the dealership, the relentless pursuit of a lead that came in 3 days, 7 days, 15 days ago, stuff the humans don't pick up and continue to chase because there's this continuous inbound flow of new leads to go after. Those are the jobs that get impacted here. And it's not really an impact on those jobs because those tend to be high turnover roles inside the store, people that you're continually replacing because people simply don't like to do that sort of business development work that's required in the nurturing process. I think what you really see, I truly believe this, is that the level of skill that the employee has is going to continually go up over time. We're going to hire and continue to employ humans on the ground that have the expertise to bridge the gap between what the AI can do and the reality of the real world moment where you need insight and intelligence that only the humans can provide. I like to compare it to the game of chess. You may remember when Big Blue beat the Russian master champion many, many years ago. And at that point in time, people declared that it was the end of chess. And in fact, what happened was an era was ushered in where the human partnered with the machine could consistently beat the machine. That lasted for about 20 years. I think we're in that same boat here where, yes, you can deploy AI, but AI can't do all of it. You need the human partnered with it. And so we see this engagement happening where more and more dealers are positioning a staff member in the store that is the AI guardian or the AI champion inside that dealership, who manages those moments of what we call human on the loop, where the AI has done its work and has hit this point where the expertise on the floor, the expertise in the showroom is needed to take it to the next step. So you begin to create this environment where it's human plus machine that makes the business better overall.
That would be reassuring for many of our listeners, Matt, that, yeah, I think there's obviously that element of, you know, everyone's out of a job because AI is going to replace them. But that, as you say, that's not the case, is it? And clearly that's starting to become ever more apparent.
Everyone wants to work with a trusted automotive professional when they walk into the dealership. They may be coming in and asking for the name of that AI agent that then had engaged them originally. But the reality is, once you're in the store, you want to be with somebody who has product knowledge that can show you how the vehicle works, that can help you understand the purchase that you've made. That type of relationship, I think, is key to how this business will continue to advance forward. We're not going to get rid of humans. We're going to have better humans that are better at the jobs that they have because they can be focused on those tasks that add the tremendous value to the consumer that's buying that vehicle.
Well, Matt, many thanks for that. It was a fascinating insight into how you're addressing this part of the market and allaying some of those fears and concerns around AI within the retailing sector, and because you're clearly showing how it can work with humans rather than replacing humans. So thanks for that. Thanks for coming on the podcast. It's been great talking to you, and we'll be hearing a lot more from Impel in our upcoming supplier special, and we'll let you know when that's available. So many thanks, Matt.
Thank you for listening to the Motor Trade Radio podcast, powered by Motors, the driving force behind multi-site advertising. We'll be sharing all the URLs from this week's headlines on Monday morning. To make sure you receive them, just subscribe to the free newsletter on our LinkedIn page. Just search Motor Trade Radio podcast.